Welcome to this episode of Print Run. My name is Eric Kane, and with me, as always, is Laura Zatz. Say hello, Laura.
Hello, Laura.
So, we've sat down today because, you know, we tend to get fired up about
things. We're mad.
we both kind of observed the last couple weeks of publishing discourse and had some thoughts about agents' position in them and just the general economy of information and help and all this kind of stuff that we have some thoughts on. I know that sounds a little bit opaque and abstract, but it'll make sense in a minute. Before we get into all that, though, how about the basic rundown?
Yeah. So before we do an entire episode breaking down why our jobs are bad.
I feel like that's like the premise of the show.
It is.
Print Run.
Why our jobs are bad.
Yeah.
Yes. Before we do that, I would like to point out that we have a part that is related to Print Run that straddles the line really between Print Run and our agenting jobs, which is that on Patreon, we have a like little corner for writers. Mm-hmm. And there's like days and days of content on there that I want to draw your attention to. But most importantly, I know that we are getting a lot of new listeners, and I want to tell you about something, especially if you are a new writer. We have something called office hours.
Yes.
Approximately every month. Eric and I do them separately. Essentially, we log on for about an hour at various times, and anybody can log on for free. Mm-hmm. And ask us whatever questions you want. They can be big, they can be small, they can be about writing, they can be about publishing. Somebody always asks Eric about some football or something. Usually it's about writing and publishing. But it is our opportunity to give anybody time to get like a specific focused answer on a question that they are perhaps concerned about or don't know the answer to. And so we have the dates of those posted on Patreon, but the link is open to anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody can come tell your friends.
Yeah.
Like we want to answer your questions because we are only two people running a boutique agency, and we can only help a few people in our actual job. So we're doing these.
Uh-huh.
So that is perhaps a good transition into gatekeeping.
So, let me frame this a little bit. And then, Laura, you're going to get us started.
Yeah.
Last few days, we're not going to get into the specific. There will be people who tune into this episode hoping for like specific breakdowns of specific situations. And that's not what we're doing here today, to be honest. One thing we've sort of observed over the last little stretch here is just a lot of out loud reflection on the role agents play in the publishing process, not just from like a mechanical industry standpoint, but just from a like an advocacy standpoint. Are we here to help writers or what?
Yeah.
From the, like sort of a self-assessment of the role of, hey, are we helping or hurting, you know, the actual talent in this industry? And I think you and I both feel that at different moments, a lot of people who maybe think they're helping or hurting, you know, a lot of people who, you know, are doing certain things, maybe even with good impulses behind them, or maybe a little bit misguided. And I don't know. Our goal today is to just sort of sift through that and make sense of just the many different ways that writers and agents interact, especially online and especially in the less personal ways like social media and stuff, like how, what's helpful, what isn't, what reinforces bad hierarchies, what actually helps break them down.
Yeah.
And where do we go from here, you know?
So a little bit of background about why we're recording this now. I've been kicking around this as just a general thesis for a while, but at the end of last week, a assistant at a small literary agency got promoted to associate, which kind of means that they can like start signing their own clients, essentially. And then it just came out via social media that this person had been engaging in a lot of like bullying tactics against other writers. This person was a writer as well as an agent, against other writers, but also like other agents, and generally putting some bad advice out there and attacking agents that perhaps didn't deserve it and not attacking agents that perhaps did deserve it. And it's been making people very worried about the idea of safety, about the idea of how confidential is your book, how safe is your idea, how safe are you, you know, what is helpful, what is hurtful in terms of having an agent as your partner and like lead into this in this industry.
Right.
So we're gonna go in no particular order.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have had a lot of complex thoughts. I am getting very close to opening up to queries again. So I've been thinking about my MSWL, which is manuscript wish list, which is basically an opportunity for an agent to, in many words or very few words, explain their taste and what they are looking for.
It's an opening chance for you to interact with the writers. Like the reason I feel like that, like just to frame it for a second, the reason I feel like that's a really essential topic here in this conversation, the reason these two things connect is because, like, these public discussions of, oh, what an agent is looking for is often the first place where
people encounter us.
Writers encounter us, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is where the, like this is sort of the front moment where a writer sees something from an agent. And this is where, in my opinion, the complete deluge of information and misinformation and bad feeling and good feeling and everything in between sort of starts, you know?
Yeah. So at the beginning, MSWL was a Twitter hashtag years ago.
Back when the site was usable, yes.
Back when the site was usable. We say as we are logged on forever and ever. And I think my thoughts have changed on the helpfulness and the usefulness of MSWL. Specifically, I think that just because of institutionalized like sexism and racism, a lot of people, particularly BIPOC people and women, will self-select out of submitting to somebody and querying to somebody if there is not enough room left in that MSWL of a particular agent. And there's this idea that has been promoted all over the place that agents, you know, out of, I think, generally a very good impulse to just like provide as much information as possible to help people, because there's like, we are a choke point in the process.
Yes.
Getting an agent is a choke point in the traditional publishing process. That's just the way that it is, which is why people talk about agents as gatekeepers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I think, perhaps a lack of care from how your MSWL is going to be received generally, that keeps people away from it or can condense the like what you are asking for into just general ideas, such that you can really like take the wind out of somebody's sails if they have, if you ask for like a specific concept and somebody has that concept and sends it to you, and for whatever reason, and oftentimes there are a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with the quality of your work, which is why we turn things down, that can really just like bum somebody out. You know, they're saying, well, you asked for this specifically, I have this specifically, and you don't want it. What is wrong with that?
I've always found that particular element of, because we get this a lot, like, and it's not just MSWL, but like, whether when we appear on some database or a site or at a conference or something, the first thing everyone always asks is like, what are you looking for? And I have very rarely found extreme specificity and thoroughness to be more helpful than leaving things broad and letting writers sort of move in that space. Because like, as you're saying, like you mentioned a really, I think, important idea a second ago, which is like people self-selecting out of, because they see you list a bunch of things and their thing isn't on it. And so they think, oh, not for me. And then suddenly I, the agent, don't get to see a book I maybe would have loved because it wasn't one of the 10 bullet points I listed. You know, it sort of actually narrows, rather than expanding your submissions, it's sort of it limits them in a really mm-hmm. weird way. And I think on the writer end, it has this way of like making people think they shouldn't send you anything. I don't know. It's, yeah. it's strange.
I think that there is value in saying, you know, I really like this person's writing, or I am, you know, I'm interested in these general sure. themes. But I think the narrower we go, the more limiting it's going to be taken from mm-hmm. from frankly like the communities we want to be like seeing more of.
Yeah.
And so like that is something that I struggle with, because again, like the impulse is that more information is better.
Yeah.
And that is not true.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nature of the kinds of information, right? Yeah. Like you're trying to, there's this, and this gets into my big thing with all of this stuff is right now you could go online and whether it's looking up what different agents are looking for or whatever else in the publishing process, there is so much to look at. We live in an age of an absolute glut of discussion on how to query and where, you know, who to send to and which agents to do what with and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know, I can't make sense of it. And I work in this field. Like it's my job. Like I live in this.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine. It's just information overload in a way that I think is sort of defeating and intimidating and really limiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like that's a common thread through endless, you know, writing tips and pitching tips and all this kind of stuff that just pops up and up and up. And it just, I just wonder broadly, like thinking about the big picture, and I know like there's a bunch of different aspects of this we want to get into, but to me the big picture is like, is there too much of this crap? And is that a sheer amount of information walling people off, you know, in a certain way?
I think there is.
Yeah.
Because what it does is if you give people too much specific information about your personal tastes, and again, like there's this impulse to see, again, because an individual agent is a stopgap, or is like a choke point, sorry, not a stopgap, a choke point between a writer and their work getting published.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that we're just like a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
We're just a bunch of random people who are like, I love reading, but have the frankly insane amount of confidence to just like trust that my editorial vision and my taste is going to be broadly acceptable. And I'm also good at selling things. Like that's, it's a job and anybody can decide to do it and try to do it. And we don't have a governing body. We don't have a source of education. Like it's just a bunch of guys. And so, and I'm saying that like as a guy, like yeah. as one of the guys.
Yeah.
And like there's this idea that we're experts, and that's not untrue. You know, I'm an expert in things that I am good at selling.
Okay, but I want to stop you though.
Yeah.
Right there. You're an expert because you've been doing this for a while, but and you gained that expertise. You're not an expert because all of a sudden you declared yourself a literary agent one day.
But I'm an expert in only the things that I am good at selling. Like I am not an expert in even like the genres necessarily that I work in. Yeah. I am just an expert in what I think Laura Zatz is going to be able to sell.
And what you have done is sure. my point sure. where it's like expert, like, and this is my huge thing with so much of this stuff that we see is like, sometimes you see an agent and quote unquote agent who maybe got the job a day ago. Suddenly they're doing endless threads of advice of things. And it's like, have you even set your stuff down yet? Like, are you like, there's so much like, and there's just so many weird incentives right now for agents to have to. And I feel like I've been mad about this for like a decade now because
you have been. Yeah.
Because I just hate, this kind of stuff drives me nuts. But there's this impulse, I think, where every literary agent with any sort of social media platform believes that their like sacred role is to start dishing out publishing advice online for hours a day, all the time. And it doesn't matter. Like, and people sort of flock. You know, it's really popular content is the reason they do it.
It's because it's easy, and it's easy to take something that's like general basic knowledge
and just kind of repackage it and put a little thing
on
it. And
turn it into a rule. Like the whole like that's
the one. That's it right there. Is turning it into rules. That's where the gatekeeping thing happens.
The whole prologues are bad, and it's like, well, bad prologues are bad.
Yeah.
And here are and like there's a lot of truth behind why a lot of prologues are unsuccessful. Like a lot of people try to write prologues more than books need prologues.
But the point is that we get these blanket statements.
And prologues are sometimes very good. I started reading a book for fun yesterday that had a prologue.
Yeah.
Certain genres, like thrillers, absolutely in most cases require one. And the idea is like, if there is this element of prescriptive expertise that then is meant to like educate people. I'm using like air quotes now. Educate people when really what it's doing is it's squishing creativity and making people feel like they can't get into traditional publishing because they're not exactly following the rules. And it's like, well, yeah, okay, so there's a reason that a query looks a certain way and is a certain structure. It's because it's a document that is skimmed. And it needs to be short. And it just is like, there's a lot of reasons.
There's plenty of like pieces of logic here. But.
Yeah. But then when you say this is the only way that you can go forward and exceed, you are by definition not giving a path to that success to everybody.
Yeah.
And so like that is why like a lot of sort of ask agents online or anything like that is super useful. And that also extends to things that are as specific as like personalized rejections from queries and from partials and fulls.
Yeah.
Like I'll be frank, was taught a lot of nonsense about how to deal with writers when I was very early in this industry, and I've had to work to unlearn a lot of it. But one of, I think, the valuable things that I was taught was to like only give feedback if it is like useful. And that applies. I was taught that like when I was submitting books to editors, and if we received a rejection, if the editor says to me, "Hey, Laura, thanks for thinking of me. This book isn't for me." That is not a problem with the book. That is a problem with like, I sent it to the wrong person. Right. So that is not like a valuable piece of information to provide, right? And I think people underestimate the huge, huge, huge number of reasons we say no to books that have nothing to do with the book.
So this is, well, that's absolutely the case. And I think what ends up happening then is, so if each of us are working in our own personalized context as the way we do our job.
Because again, we're just guys.
And then somebody shows up online and says, thing X happens for reason Y all the time. Like, it just totally flattens all context and nuance that occurs in publishing. This is what I was talking, like last week, we went on kind of this diatribe about, being active, being people with agency in your own writing careers and stuff. And people really responded to it in a way that I'm really glad for. But like, it sort of comes from the same impulse, right? People get way too much advice in their heads, and it's way too, and I want to go back again to that idea of like people self-selecting out of it, because like, it's the people who aren't necessarily super confident that the industry wants them around who are going to use every single piece of rule as a reason why they shouldn't send stuff. You know what I mean? And so it has this sort of limiting force. And then the other thing is there's so much information flying around, and so much of it is so easy to dispense with. Like, it's really, like, honestly, it's really easy to go online and do like, here's three query tips. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or I give personalized rejections to your queries. I didn't want it because your query was like this, or your sample pages had too much showing or telling or whatever. Like that is not an actual useful piece of information. That is just one person's like stock opinion.
And it also, like, this is tough to really express, but the source of the information matters. Like, there are a million people talking about publishing tips online, and it's seemingly more every day. And it seems like there are this is something we've talked about before too on here. Like, there are fewer and fewer editors and more agents all mm-hmm. the time, which is a huge problem if you ask me. It's probably its own, like, we can't all be sellers. You know what I mean? Like, someone has to be a buyer. But like, the point is, maybe as you gather information, no matter what stage of your publishing journey you're at, where are you what are the inputs coming from? Mm-hmm. Like, is it someone who doesn't have any experience and is sort of learning the job still, which I don't begrudge them for talking about their work online, but as you're allowed as a consumer of that information, as a writer, to look at that and say, oh, they're a little bit earlier career. Yeah. They don't necessarily, like, it's not as though they're drawing on like 15 years of hands-on experience.
But
like,
frankly, even if an agent is drawing on 15 years of hands-on experience, they are still only an expert in what they are good at.
Exactly. Like, the point is, like, you have to be able to, like, look into the folks that you are not in, like, some sort of, like, maybe in some sort of investigative way, depending on what you're trying. But, like, just, you know, where do they work? Have they sold any books? Are they doing something that is actually relevant to what you are interested in and thus maybe have a perspective that's actually useful to you? Or is it just some person talking? Because as Laura said, we're just guys. Like,
yeah.
And so, like,
The impulse is good. The impulse to help, to educate, to serve people in a way beyond what one agent can do for one author to sell their one book is good.
It is.
But it's too loud. It's too noisy. It's too prescriptive. It is self-selecting. It is making people so anxious. And like, and then there's lots of things where, as new technology develops and the internet is more established and we have things like Query Manager, and authors have things like Query Tracker, the frankly, like, the humanity of it gets twisted in a way. And I've like been yelling about this, I feel like, for a long time. But so we, Eric and I, use what has been very good for our like workflow and process, because again, the goal is to find books we want to work with and get back to people quickly and easily. So we use Query Manager, which basically, like, when you go to query us, you fill out an online form and it goes to a central place, and this form is customizable. But without thinking about it, like, the effort, which again is coming from a good place, to be able to move through queries quickly and efficiently, it has made a lot of these forms, like, really inaccessible. So, when you fill out a job application and they're like, attach your resume, and then they ask you all of the questions that are answered in your resume.
Yeah, right.
So many queries look like that.
Yeah.
And that is inaccessible for people who can't spend a lot of time on the computer, perhaps can't type. It's not doing what you want it to do. And then, of course, there's like the nonsense, like, tell me, like, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? Personally, I would be a European badger, but like, that is not
a good, people have lost their damn minds on these forms.
That, like, is not a good or fun or useful thing to ask in a work setting. And like, frankly, that's what it is. And like, part of it might be like, oh, like, to take the stress out of the process or to help me get to know you or what. Fuck that shit.
You know what takes the stress out of the process? Not making it completely insane and based on cults of personality. Like, I don't know. It just...
There is like the querying process. If you are not careful, there are just, some people, like, you've got a beautiful ADHDer who might open that up and be like, nope, not doing that, and shut it. And then you will never see their book again.
Yep.
So like, again, there is this like failure to think about all of this from the other side, because no matter how streamlined and effective your little like sorting filter is on Query Manager, having people fill out all that extra information is a barrier to access.
Yeah.
It's a barrier to access. You know, like, yeah.
Can I tell you what I think is broadly a huge problem that infects all of this?
What?
And this is, again, something I honestly feel like I can remember. This is like a hobby horse of mine, and you'll groan when I say it, but there's plenty of listeners on this show that have not heard me say this before, probably because they're new or whatever. But, and I can remember telling you about this back when you were like three homes ago, like back in that apartment that you had.
Oh, when we first started. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hit me. What were you trying to say?
I think it's really bad that agents are as public figures as they are. I think that, and the reason
he says on his podcast,
no. I obviously there's like some contradictions here, but like the problem that I have, or the, what I mean by that is that there's this, like, one reason I think that agents do so much of this advice giving in public spaces like social media is because it's self-promotional.
It is.
You get, yeah, you gain followings. You get writers sharing it. You get those sweet, sweet retweets when you do.
You get higher profile queries.
Exactly. You, yeah, get to, like, you give the advice not out of a pure sense of I'm trying to help people, but because you want to be known. You want people to see your stuff. You want people to, like, it's self-branding in the same way anything else is, right? Like, there's, my point is, like, there is a motive behind this complete flood of content that is something other than just the pure impulse to try to be helpful, you know?
Yeah.
And we're, as you say, we've got a podcast, you know what I mean? It's not as though we don't, like, obviously, I think you and I are pretty transparent. Like, we do try to, you know, we're trying to give real advice here. We do things like, you know, but no, of course, we, like, this show is something you and I work on, and we, you know, it's gotten us places and it's done things for us. I mean, of course, we're not totally separate from that economy, but like, the point is, it's, I do feel like we focus on at every turn trying to actually be useful, you know, and sometimes it just feels like what we have here is a whole lot of people trying to do self-promotion, masquerading as everybody trying to help.
Mm.
In a way that it just seems...
Can I say something that's going to make people really mad?
I would love it if you did that. That, okay, would really... The answer to that, Laura, is always yes.
I know, it's always yes. So can I be mean for a second? It's like the best moment of the day over on our print run Slack. I think you are absolutely right, which is why when this... agent, what, this last weekend, this agent who turns out had been bullying and harassing people, was immediately promoted, but then immediately fired, and people were having to talk about it and, you know, give their own testimonies of what was happening. There's something that always happens when there is an agent bad actor. And I would like to remind you before I get into this that, again, we're just a bunch of guys. We are not affiliated with each other in any way. The closest thing we have to a governing body is like a very nice set of committees with a code of ethics to it that you just pay money to like belong to, yeah, right? Like that's, we're a, yeah, bunch of guys,
yep,
right?
Yep, totally decentralized. But so,
there's this thing that happens, and I watched it happen this weekend, and I have been guilty of this myself, is the people who have that impulse to help and educate and like not just be gatekeepers in their job, as, again, some guy, mm-hmm, when somebody else is publicly bad or harming people, you know, there's been tons of examples agency wide, yeah, but also individual, yeah, agent wide. There is this impulse where it's like, hey, any of these authors who were affected by this, I will critique your query for free, or I will talk to you or something. And this agent has nothing like to do with the situation.
It's like
chum in the
damn water. It's like, it's crazy.
And,
no,
and I
totally
think
right,
like, again, the impulse is partially, No, but like not me though. Like not all agents, me.
It is very hashtag not all
and
agents.
And it's, but then the impulse is simultaneously, I feel responsible for the role that my job plays in this economy.
Yeah.
And I want to help correct the ship in the waters. It's like everybody becomes like the agent ambassador. But then also, like, there is
I'm laughing because this just makes me so insane every time it happens.
Okay, yeah. But then there's also this, like, culture that, like, agents are willing and capable to give direct, nuanced, focused attention to writers that they are not directly working with.
Mm-hmm.
Only when something bad happens. Only when these people are already taken advantage
of. That's a great point. That's a really good point. This stuff only... People only become beneficent when someone else fucked up.
Yeah. Like, it's like, hey, I will talk to you personally. Or, hey, let's do, like, an ask agent right now. Or, like, frankly, I moved my office hours up a week earlier than I was planning. Because I'm like, I'm sure people are really worried about this. And they, might want to ask me questions about it.
Sure.
And, like, I'm understanding... that I'm standing here hypocritical in this moment. And, like, I don't necessarily have an answer because I do think, like, as a literary citizen who wants to be much more of, like, a window than a door, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to do my job without just stopping people. Like, I want to help as many people through, even if I can't work with them directly. Like, that impulse is ill-applied. A lot of the time.
It is. It really
is. In myself, even. And, like, so that's one of the things, like, I think about with office hours where it's like, okay, it's not that I'm doing this just because somebody else fucked up big time. It's, you know, like, I might have moved it up a little bit, but I'm not only offering nuanced help and support in that case. Like, if the focus is doing that all of the time,
but we've tried to make this stuff routine regardless of circumstances, and that's helpful, I think.
Which I feel like personally helps me push back on that because I love getting fired up about stuff, this episode in question. But there is this, if you are, as an agent, investing your time and your energy in some sort of, like, advice or education or access or something in whatever form that it is, and which you do not have to do like that is not a necessary part of our job. But if you have that impulse, the question should be, am I only doing this when it's high profile and somebody else fucked up?
Yeah.
Or are you figuring out a way?
When the water is the cloudiest, when everything is yeah, exactly.
Or is it consistent? Is it focused? Are we not just responding to the squeaky wheel or the drama? And that is one particular thing that I am worried about, because those drama moments have the ability to, like, push beyond normal sort of social media in groups. Mm-hmm. And, like, the big moments get written about in the New York Times, and they get, like, reported places, and like, people who are outside of the community who still could use this access are then able to receive it. But I think the timing is suspicious. I think I should be judging myself for this.
Other people's crises are not your branding opportunity.
There we go. Yeah. Wait,
that's where I would get with it, because, like, it's just, I totally see what you're seeing, which is that anytime someone screws up, and there's, like, a big thing where a bunch of writers have been wronged, or, you know, some other thing has happened in that way, like, everyone else rushes in to pick up the pieces and see what they can get out of it, right? Yeah. Oh, so-and-so's clients are looking for a little whatever. They can DM me. Or
this person was just unceremoniously fired from their agency. Never mind that person might become an agent elsewhere and take their clients with them. Oh, no, I'll talk to these clients.
Yeah, it's very...
I think that is one of...
Let me see some of you doing that when I move to a different agency.
It feels like an overstretch and a brand-making opportunity that I think I see echoed very privately in a lot of, like, anxieties that happens a lot as it relates to marginalized writers, mm-hmm. and particularly BIPOC writers. But... there is also this, like, a very similar thing that happens when agents are like, I am prioritizing marginalized voices. And then they're not taking into account the power dynamic that is required when you as an agent receive a query or a submission, et cetera, from some person who is sending their work to you because of your focus, but then like you judge them for it. Like, oh, you're not queer enough. You're not disabled enough.
That stuff drives me insane. And I see so much of it. And I have clients who have had experience with other agents where it's like, yeah, I was told I wasn't the right sort of marginalized or not marginalized in the right ways or not. I mean, honestly, what they're saying is like, I don't think I can market your marginalization correctly in the way that helps me. It's just, it's toxic. I mean, it's bad. It's really,
it feels like a related coin to the crisis coin.
It is, because what we're talking about is the intersection of branding opportunities and publishing access.
Yeah.
And so it's...
Which is also why the personalized rejections and nonsense should be taken with a grain of salt, because it's like you see agents with their whole breath going like, I want, you know, neurodivergence in my books, but then they get like a book by somebody who has autism and they're like, I couldn't connect with your characters. So they'll say the same thing about brown characters or any other type of marginalization. And there is like, I don't want to like tell everybody to just like go deeply educate themselves on like race and gender and like their own implicit biases, but you should do that. Like, if you are going to be an advocate and you're going to be in a position where you are even obliquely questioning somebody's marginalization, you're bad at your job. You shouldn't
really
do it.
Are. Yeah. And like, honestly, what another way of saying what you're saying is the work that a whole lot of agents need to do to do the things they love to talk about doing, like online, you know, when they're pretending that
it's not
shiny, pretending that their agenting work is somehow like social activism or it's like some sort of charity project or some sort of like, you know, wait, I don't know, they're like some, you know what I mean, like when they pretend that they're like some giant mission-based thing, it's like the work you actually have to do is not in front of other people all the time. Like, it's private. It's people are not going to see you adjust your attitude or your process or something. You know, you're just going to do that, and then people are going to have a better time interacting with you, and that has to be enough. And that probably means you aren't going to get, you know, a million shares of whatever post you made about something, but it's what actually makes the industry and these processes a little bit better, you know? And it's just, I just always come back to like, why is all of this stuff like so hugely like publicly performative in a way that it just, I can't, maybe it's just my disposition, but basically anytime I see anybody tweet about anything, I assume, and this includes me, by the way, this is what social media is. Like, if you're tweeting about something, maybe there's like something about the content itself that you want to talk about, but there's also some part of it that you either, you know, explicitly or implicitly know also reflects on you, right? Like, you're sharing something because you want people to, like, everyone is branding themselves all the time. And when we talk about this, when we talk about like access and gatekeeping with publishing, that cannot be this deeply infected with personal branding, because the results are going to be what you're saying, which is like people swooping in moments of chaos when writers are at their most anxious and disoriented, trying to like, what, score some points or like do some things. Yeah. And like, it just doesn't make sense.
That is not what a good agent is. Like, a good agent that is a good, safe business partner for somebody, for example, with a marginalization, is like, when they can intercept a really like weirdly racist ask for you, so you don't have to spend your time and energy thinking about it.
Do people understand that, by the way? And I feel like you will when I say it, but I really want anyone listening to this to think about that. The top 10, 15, 20 things that make someone a good literary agent have absolutely nothing to do with anything you see online.
No.
The job has extremely little to do with the public performance of the job on social media. Like, the way, like, I'm a little bit of a caustic dipshit on the internet. Let's just say it. Like, I tweet in a way that is, and that I think sometimes people get a certain assumption about what that means about how I work or who I work with or what. And I just cannot emphasize enough that the work I do as an agent has just so little to do with how I like to screw around on the internet. And whether or not you think of it that way, when you're doing your threads about, you know, your queries or whatever, that is what you're doing. It's just a different form of like messing around online.
I think key thing is, like, you don't spend a lot of time talking about books on the internet, but that statement that you just made is also true for me, and I almost exclusively talk about books on the internet. Right.
Exactly. And the point is, like, my work and any agent's work, like, I'm trying to circle around what I'm trying to say here, which is that everything we're talking about and all these anxieties that people have, all of it seemingly relates to how different agents are comporting themselves on the internet, or how they're talking about different things, or how they are interacting with writers and doing these other things. And I just really want to get at, like,
it's beyond the internet, though. It's about trying to expand the job in ways that are generally well-intentioned.
Sure. No, I should make that clear, too. I do think a lot of people are trying to do the right thing, but they're just sort of adding to noise that I think the sum total of is really sort of a negative effect, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, it's also true, I think, that, and this is obviously, like, you know, this is 100% true in your non-book life, but, like, where is your information coming from? You know, we live in this age where anybody can say anything, right?
And they have different reasons for doing so.
When you think about the news, or you think about opinion, or you think about all these things, most people, anyone who listens to this show or is seeking out podcasts like this, has at least some, you know, idea that media and, like, public statements are, it's important to know who they're coming from and why, and, like, what that person's background is and all that, like, we can do a little, you know, critical thinking about where our news and information comes from. Everyone understands that as it relates to things not related to publishing. And what I would just say is, when it comes time to examine your publishing life, whether you're trying to make it in as a writer or working in some other way, like, whatever, when you read the thing that upsets you or presents a rule that seems contradictory or shuts you out of something, where is it coming from? Yeah. Who says that? Has that person, like, sometimes I see these controversies and I, like, start looking up, like, all the figures, and it's like, there are, like, no books sold in any part of this equation. And I, you know what I'm saying? Like,
zero part of the job has been done.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, what, why, like, I don't know. I just go a little bit crazy, and it's.
But I think we're getting a little into the nitty gritty. So just to kind of, like, maybe pull it out a little bit and to put a little bow on it.
Yeah.
The elements, the public facing elements, the, like, you know, and I do think that, like, there is some need in today's world for an agent who is good at their job to be known in some way to attract the type of books that they want to do, right?
Sure, because, I agree, like, with that.
Because it is not what, you know, some agents will talk about who like the power play, where it's just like, well, I'm an agent, you just have to find me and want to work with me and I'll deign to say maybe. Like, there is a lot of, like, active marketing towards writers to say, hey, you should consider me. And that, I think, is necessary. But there is a lot of upholding institutional gatekeeping and just general sort of gatekeeping activities that, if you are even coming from a place of helpfulness, and coming from a place of just, like, wanting more opportunities to work with writers, that these impulses are not going to do what you want it to do. And that is, I think, going to forever be a difficulty because, like, frankly, like, we're the cog in the machine that takes art and turns it into a product. Like, that we're the first step in that process.
Which is insane
because we're just that. A bunch of guys. Like, yeah. I don't know how many more times I can just tell people, like, we're just dudes who decided to, like, instead of making money, we're going to do this job.
Great choice by us.
Great choice. And again, much like editors, much like writers, we are coming at this from a place of love and a place of meaning. A couple of people are coming at it from a place of just, like, power and whatever, and you should avoid them. But, like, there is so much to broadly consider in how, like, our work intersects with keeping people out of publishing, letting people into publishing, helping, giving people the resources that they need to, because this is a great time to be a writer. It's a great time to be a reader. It's like, we have more ways to read books. We have more books. Like, things are generally, you know, given late stage capitalism, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, access to art.
There's a lot of ways to do it.
There's a lot of ways to do it. And fundamentally, I just, like, I want to challenge the agents that I hope have made it this far to like, question everything. Like, question your own motives, question how you are approaching things, question how you are educating other people. Like, there is just a bunch of us figuring it out, because again, this is an apprenticeship based industry. Like, there is no handbook, there is no test. We're just a bunch of guys. And, like, I hope that the writers listening to this are perhaps a little bit more aware and empowered of the way that some agents might be on the surface helping people, but not actually helping people.
Yeah.
And this is going to be an ongoing conversation, because I feel like this is, as access to writers are changing and things like internet bullying is, you know, forever around, like, this is going to be changing. But there are a lot of things that are in this industry just because they've been around for a while, in ways of thinking. Yeah. And there's a centralizing that happens there. And that is not what our job is.
Yeah.
So totally. I don't know exactly how to end there other than to say, like, come to my office hours, come to my office hours. where, like, I hope I do a large scale version of this. And I know Eric definitely does. But, like, you don't have to listen. You don't have to listen is the moral of the story, because we're just a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to leave it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all. I know that was frustrating we will see you around, because, again, we're just a bunch of guys.
That's right.